You are listening to Pastor Talk.
You really have taken an idea that in order to really reach the children in the community, you probably should spend some time in the community. So you're not limited to children. You're talking to their parents. You have a great relationship with some of the moms. When did you decide, hey, there's more to being a children's minister or just being a missionary for the Lord than making sure that we have the right number of crackers and juices and stuff on Sunday morning, and maybe I should get out and hang during the week outside?
Well, for the first 2 years in children's ministry, that's what I did. I filled in the volunteer rotation spots, and I copied and pasted and made sure Awana was going great, and I was just exhausted.
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Duren.
Welcome back, everyone, to Pastor Talk. Thanks for listening again. This is Marty Duren, your host, and in studio today is a lady who just called me the country Batman, so she is now my favorite person in the world, besides my wife, obviously. I'm glad to have back on Pastor Talk Sarah Hughes. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing great. So good. Glad to be here.
Well, it's really good to have you here on this moody, rainy Nashville day. Man, what a disaster outside.
But, you know, it's Nashville.
It is
Nashville. It's a great place.
But Jesus still is Lord.
Right?
Okay,
yes.
Jesus juked the weather. All right. So why don't you take a second, and for everybody who hasn't listened to, like, the first five episodes where you made an appearance, tell everybody
then you
who
should
you
go
are.
Back and listen to
That's
it.
That's true.
It was
you
great.
Should.
It was great.
It was awesome.
Yeah, so I'm Sarah Hughes. Like you said, I am married to John David, who is my BFF. I want to hang out with him all the time. I have two girls.
Wait a minute. BFF?
He really is.
What does that mean?
He's my best friend.
What's
I
the
think
other
after,
F for?
I think after 10 years.
Isn't it forever? Isn't it?
Best friends forever, most of the time.
You don't even know what it means.
Yes, I do. But I think after 10 years of marriage, you like hit a groove. Finally, I'm like, I actually like this person. We said that out loud yesterday. Like, we actually like being together all the time.
We are not going to have you on the marriage council. That's for sure.
We have two girls, Emma and Amelia. They're 11 and 6. They're hilarious.
They are pretty funny.
They are. They're so funny.
So you are, you've been in children's ministry for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those, you've had two church opportunities, both locally to Nashville. And you are now currently serving where?
FBC at the Village in Old Hickory Village.
Old Hickory Village. So for those listeners who are not from the Nashville area, and possibly even for some who are in the Nashville area.
For sure.
Describe kind of where Old Hickory is and why it's called Old Hickory Village.
Okay. So actually, this year is the centennial year of Old Hickory Village.
I did not know that.
In 1918... there was a plant built there for World War I to help with gunpowder and things like that. And so it was developed as a company town then, and the war ended shortly after the factory started. And then they continued on in World War II, helping with efforts there. And it just is still a company town built around this factory.
So anybody who lives in a town where there was either like a mill or a coal village or something like a coal town or something like that, where the company came in and did a lot of the construction.
Right.
It's a similar type of vibe.
Yes. There is still the manager's houses are on one side of Hadley, and like the line workers' houses are on the other side of Hadley Avenue. And there's still the seven major types of styles of houses. And there's still the local school and the library and the community center that we can all walk to. So there's still a lot of history there, and that's really, really appreciated still in the village.
Now, do you know how many houses are in the village?
No,
it's a lot.
I do not. It's a lot of houses.
I mean, it's if you were to look at the thing on a map without having the plots broken down, you wouldn't realize how many houses are in there.
I mean,
it's hundreds,
I would think 1,000.
Okay.
There's very little land. It's mostly all houses, just put together as many houses as you possibly could. And at some point, DuPont decided they were going to sell these houses. So some people bought up multiple plots to have a bigger yard, but most people still just have the tiny house, tiny yard. And we just all walk around everywhere, everywhere.
So you guys actually, when you took this position, y'all didn't have to move. Your husband works downtown Nashville at one of the hospitals, right?
Yes.
And y'all didn't have to move. But after a year and a half of you being on staff there, y'all actually moved from what, 2 miles away?
So I had been on staff for about 6 months, I guess.
Okay.
And so in Old Hickory Village, every holiday is like Gilmore Girls, Stars Hollow. It's like everybody
comes. I'm sorry for our male listeners.
Everybody go watch Gilmore Girls, and you can see a little snippet of Old Hickory Village. So on Memorial Day of all holidays, okay, there is this big celebration in what's called Veterans Memorial Park. There's a gazebo, memorial honoring people, veterans. And we went to that, and across the street, they were building new houses. And my husband said, well, let's go just look over there. We had not talked about moving.
Right.
This was not at all in the plan. And we talked about, or we just walked over, saw the foundation, saw what it was supposed to look like. The backyard is a cemetery, actually, which is super cool. And so then we were like, oh, this is awesome. And so then we went home.
And Halloween.
About a week later, we were both still thinking about this house and the potential of it and where it was located was, I mean, literally I could like throw a rock at the community center and the post office and the coffee shop and walk to the school and walk to the church. And it was just the center of life mm-hmm. there. So 3 months later, our house sold in one day, and wow. then we moved in.
That's awesome.
It just happened. It was weird.
So if you're listening right now and you're wondering what all of this reminiscing is about, and if we actually have a point to the podcast today, or if Sarah just stopped by and we decided to record something, Sarah does a really good job and has for quite a while of doing ministry in the community where she lives. And so I wanted to have her in because that's not really her job description per se. She's a children's minister. And so in most churches, the children's minister waits for the kids to show up on Sunday morning mm-hmm. and has a program of some type for them. I guess typically we would call it children's church or something. But you really have taken, I don't know whether, you know, a challenge is the right word, but you really have taken an idea that in order to really reach the children in the community, you probably should spend some time in the community. So you're not limited to children. You're talking to their parents. You have a great relationship with some of the moms. When did you decide, hey, there's more to being a children's minister or just being a missionary for the Lord than making sure that we have the right number of crackers and juices and stuff on Sunday morning, and maybe I should get out and hang during the week outside?
Well, for the first 2 years in children's ministry, that's what I did. I filled in the volunteer rotation spots, and I copied and pasted and made sure Awana was going great, and I was just exhausted and felt lifeless and pointless, I guess. And so I took a 3-day weekend in Alabama at a state park with just like by myself, which is like the scariest thing for you to tell your boss, like, I'm going on a trip for the 3 days. And they're like, oh, are you ever coming back?
Just sit right now.
So I went and I just was really seeking the Lord and what my purpose was in his plan. And that children's minister, that title doesn't define me. Mm-hmm. That's just something that I happened, like my husband's a nurse and him being a nurse doesn't define his purpose in life either. Mm-hmm. So I just asked for a word from God. And the word that I just kept getting was outside. And there's a scripture in Hebrews that says, let's get outside where Jesus is, where the action is. There was a song at that time by Need to Breathe. We are the outsiders. Mm-hmm. Like,
I remember we had a conversation.
Yeah,
like
we
this.
Did. And, mm-hmm. and, but the word outside meant so much more. Like, yes, as a Christian, we're going to be outsiders in the world. We're going to be weird. We're going to be hated. But also, like, physically, we should be outside the church, outside our home, where the action is happening. Life happens outside the church way more than it happens in it, sadly.
Didn't you come home and move all of your backyard furniture into the front yard?
We moved everything we could outside in the front yard so we could meet all of our neighbors and they could see us living life.
Yeah.
And that's just what I've tried to do since then. I would much rather spend more time outside the church than in it. And we live in a culture where people don't go to church mm-hmm. just because they're supposed to. So we need to be outside, and that's what we do.
So which relationships in the village have been easy to come by, and which relationships have been tougher to come by? Because there's like 8 churches in the village, right?
Yes. And they're all like, close together.
And it's like every southern denomination is represented in the village.
Yes.
And these are, I mean, for the most part, these are really nice facilities. Not like super new, but like traditionally really, really pretty, mm-hmm. architecturally nice. So, I mean, I remember driving through there and it's like the phrase church on every corner immediately comes to mind.
I mean, church on every, I mean, just standing outside the front of our church, there is a church across the street and a church across the street this way. It's weird.
And then if you take a right, there's more churches.
There's more
across
churches.
The street. So, but in that regard, I bet if you added up all of the attendance of those churches on Sunday morning, it would only be a fraction of the residents.
Oh, absolutely.
Live in the village.
Yes.
So all these churches have been here for all these years. The impact is probably about like anywhere else in the United States, not higher or lower than that. So when you got there, decided, hey, I want to, you know, I think the Lord wants me to focus my time and energy outside. Was that new to some of the people who lived in the village? Like, oh, here's somebody representing the church who's not just sitting in their office waiting for me to show up on Sunday morning. What do you want from me? Or were people like, hey, awesome, come on in and let's have some cappuccino.
So I, first off, just tried to reach out to the other churches to see what they were doing as far as children's ministry goes. Mm-hmm. I heard back from one church, and it was a church that doesn't have a children's ministry at all. And they were like, nothing, but what are you thinking? But I went into some churches and actually was told, we don't want to work with you.
Wow.
Like straight to my face.
Wow.
I was told, we don't acknowledge women in leadership. I was like, okay, challenge accepted. Ta-da. But I think the hardest relationship, I mean, every relationship is hard. I'm not going to say there's any easy relationship, but the hardest relationship has been with other church people.
Wow.
And that's discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, okay, so I'm very self-aware that I have a very strong personality and that
no kidding.
I love people and I'm an extrovert and I have energy all the time, and so I really try to keep that in check and still be respectful, but I also have a charge to speak truth.
Mm.
And the truth is, we live in a world where people don't want to hear the truth. Sometimes even the Christians don't want to hear the truth, and the truth is that I cannot do a big event at our church and expect somebody to come to it because they can get a big event anywhere.
Yeah.
I can go anywhere and have a good dinner. I can go anywhere and have great music. I mean, I live in Nashville. Mm-hmm. I can go anywhere for good music. I can make friends at the Y, also have childcare at the Y, and get healthy at the Y all at the same time. So why would I want to go to a church that's just giving me those things?
Right.
And that's hard to talk to people about. And this is a fun story. So I was invited to come to this lunch on, well, I have two fun stories.
Okay.
First one, I was invited to come to this church with the other guys on staff at our church, our pastor and associate pastor. And we went to, it was called Revitalizing the Church. We very rarely go to these kind of things because mm-hmm. usually they have nothing to give to us, sadly. But we were like, this sounds great. Let's mm-hmm. go check it out. So we went and went in. And first of all, I did not know I'd be the only female there. So it was
in
like
the whole
record
conference?
In the whole, yeah. So, and I didn't, neither did our pastor and he didn't think anything about that. So I walk in, it's like record scratch. Also, because I didn't know they were praying over the lunch when I walked in, and I walk in and go, hey, is this where we're supposed to be? And they were praying. And I was like, oh gosh,
I
wanted to crawl in a corner. And then, you know, they all, I don't know, everybody looked at me awkward and shook my hand thinking, oh, great, we've done something great.
Could you bring me some tea?
Yeah. John David said, that's my husband, John David. He was like, they were probably wondering why you weren't in the kitchen. not funny. But afterward, a man came up and introduced himself and said that he had just accepted a call to be pastor at a small church near ours, not okay. far from Old Hickory Village.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's awesome, because I know some things about this church, and it needs somebody to come in, and this is a community that needs a strong church. And I was like, that's great. If you need any help, we'd love to help you out. And he was like, yeah, I do need help, and the first thing I need is a piano player. And I said, sir, I really know where you're going.
I wish this was on video.
I said, I know where you're thinking. And while I respect your opinion, I really don't think that's the first thing you need, because I'm not sure if you know this, but most of the people living around that church are only Spanish speaking. And he was like thinking, and I was getting excited because I was like, we're about to have a really deep discussion about revitalizing that church. And then he goes, I hear what you're saying, but I really need a piano player and a song leader. Do you play? And I was so like, really? Really? But those are the kind of conversations I keep having. Like we keep going back to our comfort zone in church. Like, we need a piano or an organ. We need this kind of dinner. We need an Easter egg hunt, and we need a VBS. And that's what's going to work. No, it's not. It obviously hasn't. That's why, I mean, I don't know how many people in America go to church now. 20%, if that.
yeah, if that. So tell me the story about the one you told me the other day about the ham dinner.
Okay, so in Old Hickory Village, there are a lot of little social clubs, okay? And I'm not exactly sure what the purpose is, but they have fun together. So I got invited to come to this girls' lunch to talk about some things our church is doing to reach the community or to help the community. Like, we have a special needs school that meets mm-hmm. in our church, and we have a farmer's market, and we have some other different things that are going on. So I was excited to talk to these ladies about these events. And after I got done talking about how we all are the church, and the church is called to these things and these things, and to love our neighbors and to do whatever it takes. And I had, you know, really great stories of things that have happened in the lives of these kids and these people at the farmer's market. And then I had brought things to hand out and how they could get involved. And then I was done. I was like super pumped that, you know, something was great was about to happen. And then this lady raised her hand, and the whole time she's been like glazed eyes at me, glaring. And she raised her hand and said, all those things sound great, but when are y'all bringing back that ham supper? That ham supper, I remember when my daddy would get that invitation in the mail and we would come and have the best food. And it just sucked the wind out of my sails. And so I told her, I said, ma'am, we are not going to have the ham supper, but I could have a really great ham supper with you right here, right now at this lunch. Like, this is not what the church is for. And so, yeah, that was wonderful.
So was the ham supper something the church had done like 100 years ago?
Like, or? Yeah, like 30 okay. years ago.
Wow.
That was a big deal.
So
when,
before you were born, they used to have a ham supper. And
yeah.
She wanted to know when you were going to bring the ham supper back.
How I killed it, and I need to bring it back. That's what I did.
Okay, so really quickly, what's something most of our listeners are going to be small and medium church pastors and mm-hmm. staff, and maybe some other leaders in the church. What maybe two to three, and these are just off the top of your head here. These are not questions that I ask you to prepare.
Okay.
What's a way that they can, like, intentionally, who do they talk to? Who do they go and, I mean, is this like just go door to door and start meeting people? Is it show up at the library for a reading session? Is it go to the community center when there's a community meeting? I mean, how do you most effectively start reaching people that are in a community around you that really builds relationships?
So I've already said we are the church individually. And so me and my family have committed to loving our community. And that means that we're going to go to community things. So any neighborhood meeting we have, we're there. Mm-hmm. Any community event we have, we are there. The library. I mean, both my kids are in school now, so I don't go to like the preschool story time, because that'd be kind of weird going without a child. But anytime the library has an after school event, I'm there. We walk around the village. We go to the playground. I just get to know people that way. And I mean, before I even tell them at all what my job is, mm-hmm. I just want to get to know them because I love people and they're cool. And I can find something in common with anybody usually. Yeah. Just getting out of our safe place. Have you ever watched The Croods? It's a,
the what?
The Croods. It's a,
no,
it's an animated movie about a cave family.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage is the dad.
Of course he is.
Well,
he's
anyway,
in every movie.
He keeps his family in a cave, and he tells them a bedtime story every night. about Crummy Bear, and he talks about how Crummy Bear is curious and he wants to go out of the cave. But one night he snuck out of the cave and he died. And that is the end of every Crummy Bear story. He dies because he went out of the cave and he was out of a safe place. Well, that is not how Christians are supposed to live. We can't be always in our safe place. There's a radio station that their slogan is safe and fun for the whole family. Mm-hmm. And we need to be aware of what we're putting into our ears, and, you know, but God didn't never call us to a life of safety. And I mean, he called us to be courageous and to be brave and to trust him and to get out and love people, and loving people is messy. So we got to like stop thinking about all these things we can create for ourselves in our little safe place. And we got to get out to the things that have already been created in your neighborhood and help make them awesome, you know?
So in case you were wondering and you haven't been able to tell, Sarah has enough energy to wear out a room full of introverts by just showing up. But she's the kind of person who can change the dynamic, not just of a meeting, but of a church ministry. And she does that kind of thing a lot. Tell me, there was a story you had told me before, and if I can't identify it close enough for you to tell it, then that's fine. Just make up another one.
Okay.
There was a certain mom, I think, who you were doing some ministry to her child, and the mom was very standoffish, very distrustful. But eventually she started coming around. I don't remember whether she accepted Christ or whether she had just said, hey, I want to come and find out what's going on. But I know you've got some of those kinds of stories of people who have responded to your reaching out, whether mm-hmm. they've accepted Christ yet or not, or been to the church yet or not. They've gone from being like back toward you to being faced toward you, where they're willing to be your friend now.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been exciting to see?
It is so exciting to see. I think that's what gives me life is just seeing somebody who hears that I have anything to do with Christianity at all and automatically puts up this like, she's going to judge me. She's going to, we have nothing in common. She has nothing to give to me that's going to be of any use to me. And just seeing those walls break down is huge. And I think who you're referring to is there was a mom that she had three kids. And when I first started working at the Village, I would get to church on Wednesday nights and there'd be a line of kids mm-hmm. waiting to get in. No parents, just a line of kids waiting right. to get in. And we had to nip that one pretty quick because I need to know who you're going with.
Yeah.
And so I just started enforcing that parents have to check in your kid mm-hmm. and you can't come without a parent checking you in. So that's the way I got to meet some of these moms. And the one of them, she did not want to meet me at all. But I asked her, you know, you can just hang out. You can come watch what we're doing so you can see what your kid is learning here because we learn things. And she stayed. And after the first time she stayed, she said, you're filling my kid's head with all this false hope. And she needs to know that life is hard. It stinks. We don't celebrate holidays because adulthood is going to be terrible. Like, wow. It's hard. And we don't have any hope. So I just said, ma'am, I believe in this and there is hope and I'm going to talk about it every single time she's here and you're welcome to stay. You're welcome to not, whatever, you know, but she kept coming back. And that's, she had grown up in church. Like,
wow.
She had grown up in church. So she should have heard all these things. But I guess she hadn't, I don't know. But now they no longer live in the Village. They've moved out of the Village. But they're doing great. And she has hope. And she's tried to start her own business. Like, she's working on her own cleaning service. And the daughter, she can look me in the face now. She was just, you know, always looking down. But those kind of stories, like, we just got to tell our hope. We got to share the one thing we have to share with people that nobody else does. And that is eternal hope, you know, hope for eternity.
Mm-hmm. My guest today has been the one and only Sarah Hughes, children's minister at FBC at the Village in Old Hickory, Tennessee. And we've just been talking about getting into the community. Are you on Twitter by any chance?
No.
No.
I don't tweet.
She don't tweet. Okay.
Yeah. The other day I said, Twitter that.
Yes. You definitely don't tweet. So thanks for listening. You can always follow Lifeway Pastors at Lifeway Pastors or me at Marty Duran. If you haven't checked out the videos that we've been doing on Facebook, those have been pretty fun. So you can check those. They usually go up every Thursday in the morning, and it's a very brief 8 to 10 minutes, something like that. Check those out. And until the next time, this is Marty Durham for Pastor Talk.
Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duren. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duren.